Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
That's Procol Harum bringing us back, Whiter Shade of Pale. Welcome back. I'm 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my books, just go to jimblasingame.com and you'll find my last two books there. Charles Whelan is here. Charles is a great member of our Brain Trust for 10 years now, senior lecturer and policy fellow at the Rockefeller Center at Dartmouth College. He's the author of a number of books, Naked Economics, Naked Money, but also the new one, his novel, The Rationing, which was published last year, but it's about what's happening this year. Charles, you were more prescient maybe than you even knew. Tell us about it.
Well, the premise of the novel is that an epidemic strikes the United States. The book is fiction, as we said. It's told in the first person by a young scientist who has graduated from Dartmouth and is supposedly the expert on the virus. But, of course, what he feels is what we all feel now, which is he's overwhelmed, doesn't understand what's happening. He's been called into a White House that takes place in the near future that's in chaos trying to manage it. Mm-hmm. And there's so many similarities to the present. The White House is building these models, and the models are changing, and they're trying to compare it to the flu, even though it's much worse than the flu. So the similarities are breathtaking in that regard. Mm-hmm. But the reason I wrote the book and the reason it's called The Rationing is I wanted to highlight, remember, I'm a policy guy, the inherent vulnerabilities, word you've been using, anytime something like this strikes and you don't have enough of what you need. Now, in the case of the book, my book, The Rationing, there's a fictitious drug called Dormagen, and the rationing is, okay, oh, my God, who's going to get it? And, of course, right now it's personal protective gear and it's ventilators, mm-hmm. and the whole thing was meant to shine a light on the vulnerabilities, fragilities, fears of a society when something overtakes us that's so unexpected.
To me, that's the essence of the concept of vulnerability, and to me, there's a it's the pivot. So you get into a vulnerability, and how things turn out depends on how people behave. So if you're in a vulnerable position, and people step up with leadership and character, then you pivot to a good place. But if we fall back on our worst angels, the worst angels of our nature, then it goes the other way, and we wind up with something ugly. And that's where I think we are potentially. I'm not trying to be histrionic here, Charles. You tell me if I'm over the line here. I feel like we are vulnerable. The world, in fact, the world is vulnerable right now, and I don't just mean from the disease. And this is what you talked about in your book. How do we, you know, how do we help them? How do we help the world pivot to the right, to the better angels of our nature, not the worst ones? What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. One of the reasons I wanted to write the book, part was just for fun, it's a thriller, was to highlight the importance of governance, not necessarily government. Governance is a different word, right, which is somehow we got to work collaboratively. There in the book, there's a big conflict between the United States and China, because China has, in the book, more vaccine than they need. And, of course, we're seeing all the international tensions that are being created. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying earlier, I'm teaching this course on epidemics. And the point you made is exactly right, that historically, and we're talking going back to the Middle Ages, but also during the polio outbreaks in the 50s and early 60s before we had the vaccine, people turn on each other. Some people act irresponsibly. This requires all of us to act responsibly, not hoarding so that other people have what they need, abiding by the restrictions so you're not inadvertently spreading the virus, collaborating with other countries on a vaccine or excess gear. And those things are hard.
Well, that's exactly right. And so so to me, the message for all of us is to take a – well, first we have to – you know, I love what I never can remember the guy's name who said this. It's always misapplied this to a coach, but this is another guy. I'm sorry I can't say his name. But he said, adversity doesn't create character, it reveals it. So as we stand here in the middle of this vulnerability, and I think that's the thing we should start saying, we should start internalizing. As we stand here in the middle of this vulnerability, which way are we going to turn? Are we going to turn towards doing the right thing, or are we going to turn towards a more base, self-serving thing? And, you know, one of the things that I've tried to encourage people to think about, a term that I've tried to give people when with regard to digital, using digital leverage, and that is, just because I can doesn't mean that I should. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And there, I would say, not only does a crisis like this expose character in individuals, it exposes character in a society. Mm-hmm. It shows us the seams, and those seams are frazzled in some respects. So my hope is that when we get on the back end of this, whatever that may be, that we will, rather than looking only ahead, which is going to be a natural impulse, that we'll look back, mm-hmm. and we'll give new thought to our frontline health workers and the other essential workers.
And people who took advantage. People who tried to... The rent seekers, the people who tried to game the system at the expense of other people. And I can give you their names right now, but I won't. They've already...
The lack of
character has already been exposed, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. And it always has. But then there's the opposite as well, which is, you know, the bus drivers who show up, the ambulance drivers, the people in the ERs, and day after day after day. And we know there's personal risk.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah. Well, the people who provide our food. I mean, those people, the butchers and all those folks. Folks, I got to take a quick break. Charles, I need the website, please.
It's Naked Economics. We'll also take you to the rationing.
It's called the rationing by Charles Whelan. You need to read this book. It will hit you between the eyes with what's going on right now. I always knew he was smart, but when this book came out, and especially in 2020, we now realize how smart.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.